back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, there's nobody better than our next guest. Jerry Palm is the CBS Sports Bracketologist. I don't know if the guy has slept in the last week or so. We might get him a little punch drunk looking at the bracket, but there's nobody better to unpack the bracket than our next guest, and he's joining us now. Jerry Palm, where are you joining us from?
Actually, home. I was able to fly back from New York this morning after almost 2 weeks there.
Wow.
In the various studios out there. So, but that's actually that's been the typical routine the last several years.
Help me with this, because, you know, one time I spent 11 straight days in Vegas. It's too long to be in Vegas. Like, give me 2 weeks in New York, thinking about the bracket, obsessing about the bracket, look at the seeding, who's the first four, who's the last four, who are the top seeds. Like, what does that do to a person's brain?
So, it doesn't really matter that I'm in New York, because I don't really see New York. It's not like I'm not touristing or anything.
Yeah.
You know, I see the area around my hotel. I go back and forth to the studio. I'm in Manhattan. You know, I mean, it's fine, you know, but yeah, I'm not touristing. I'm not going to the Statue of Liberty or anything. So I'm not really running out of things to do because I'm not doing any of the things that people who visit New York do. I'm there at work. So I get, though, I actually get energized by being in New York. The Manhattan is obviously, you know, bustling almost at all times of the day. So, you know, like if I'm out in the morning, just, you know, getting coffee or something or whatever. And then I'm energized by being in the studio with the people I'm with. So
how about the actual bracketology work? Because you're watching conference tournaments and you're watching the final regular season games, and then you're putting yourself in the shoes of the selection committee. How difficult is that, and how confident do you feel about it, given that you've done this for a long time?
Yeah, I used to feel more confident, but the last couple of years, the committee has done things that it wouldn't typically do. And I don't know if it's because metrics are more involved or what, but, you know, last year when we were listening to the bracket reveal show, we set a record for audible gasps in the room. just at what the committee was giving us. It was just so different in ways. You know, they were really harsh to the Mountain West last year. Even though the 16s got in, New Mexico as a bid stealer was surprising. But just the, you know, like some of the seeds for those teams. And then they were a little unkind to the Mountain West again this year. Boise State being left out is not really egregious. They were my last team in. I had the dividing line between Boise State and Xavier, and they put Xavier in and not Boise, and that's, you know, there's a case for that. It's totally fine, unless you're Boise. But
give me an idea. When you see North Carolina in and Boise's
we were stunned. The room was like, we're all like, North Carolina? it's, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I can't think of another team that had so convincingly proven that they were not an NCAA tournament team still get in the bracket. It's just dumbfounding. I mean, 1-12 in quad one games it's a statistic. The one win is UCLA. That's a good team. The only other team they beat in the bracket is American, the Patriot League champion. It's the lowest ranked team North Carolina played this year. Those 12 losses, 9 or 10 of them are tournament teams. You know, a bunch of them are Duke. I mean, that was 3 of them to Duke, and, you know, probably half of them are the teams that are in the top two lines of the bracket. So they played a lot of good teams. They just couldn't beat any of them. But they also played, you know, teams further down the bracket and couldn't beat any of them. And then, you know, they lost to Pitt, and they lost at home to Stanford. I mean, you know, this is a team that knew how to lose. That's what they showed us this year. They knew how to lose. And that's not usually what gets you in the NCAA tournament. It's just baffling that team gets in. So, I always feel like, well, all right, I missed Xavier. Not a problem.
Yeah.
The committee missed North Carolina. And I feel like they missed Texas as well. But I'm not as, I guess, fervent about Texas. But Texas is, you know, you look at what they did. They've got like five quad two losses. Now, there are four of them are to teams in the tournament. The other one is the no-show at South Carolina. But three of them are home games to teams that they were competing with for spots in the bracket. They lost all of them. It's, you know, so they've got some nice wins. Of course they do. They're in the SEC if you win games at all. But they're 12-15 if you take away their quad four games. 12-15. You got to be better than that against relatively competent basketball teams. And they're just not. And they're the first team to be three games below 500 against that group of teams and get in the field.
The ACC in general is interesting to me because that conference, it had a down year by any metric. And can we draw bigger conclusions about the ACC teams as we fill out our bracket, or is that a dangerous game to play?
Well, since North Carolina is unquestionably one of the least deserving teams to ever make the field, you can pencil them in for the Sweet 16.
Right.
And then people will say, see, that they totally belonged in the field. No, you earn your spot in the field by what you do in the regular season. The committee's not putting them in because they think they're going to win games. They're putting them in because, well, I don't know why. But
TV?
I don't know. I mean, do we really need – you think a bunch of people are going to watch North Carolina play in Dayton?
No.
No, but I don't think Carolina's going to be a draw. But the fact that you said that means that it's inexplicable.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there are teams that are left out of the tournament every year that could win a game or two if they actually had the opportunity to get in. You have to earn that. Carolina didn't earn it. And I don't care if they get to the Final Four. They still didn't earn getting in the tournament.
Jerry Palm with us, CBS Sports bracketologist. He's our guy. He's our go-to. Let's take a peek at one little quadrant of the bracket, if you don't mind. Oregon. A lot of Oregon fans listening to the show here. Oregon gets a 5 seed. They're going to be in Seattle. They'll play Liberty. If they beat Liberty, they'll get the winner of Arizona and Akron. Duke's on the other side of that bracket, you know, presumably. Is there a Cooper Flag injury or not? But Duke's really good even without Flag. We know that. But
yep.
What do you think of the draw?
He's not the only injured guy, too.
Yeah, okay, so let's unpack that. What do you think of just kind of the draw that Oregon got, the potential path to a Sweet 16, and what stands between them and an Elite Eight in your mind?
I think that Duke stands between them and an Elite Eight, and that's a difficult task to overcome. But Clemson beat them this year. Oregon's as good as Clemson, so that may be better. So, you know, there's always a chance. That's an interesting draw. Getting to play in Seattle is nice. You know, Oregon should have a good crowd there. Liberty as a team that they can beat. Liberty's had teams that are better than this, and they're a 12 seed. I don't think this is a great version of Liberty, so I think that Oregon should be able to handle that. Arizona, you know, that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
And, that's a good team. Oregon can certainly win that game. They're obviously familiar with each other, if not this season. But in the recent past, of course, you know, just last year they were in the same league. So there's some familiarity there with those two programs. Oregon getting to the Sweet 16 would not be a surprise. But it's not easy. I think they can win their first game. But after that, you know, Arizona's a toss-up. And Duke, if that's what you get, good luck.
Yeah, Duke's got 1-10 on their roster deep. They've got a really good defender in Malik Brown. They've got a 6'7" freshman who is the ACC MVP of the ACC tournament. In your mind, but the Cooper Flag injury.
Then,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and then they bring a guy in like Mason Gillis, a veteran, you know, leader type, you know, with all these young kids who was just in the championship game last year. So even off the bench, they have quality, not just super talent quality, but veteran leadership quality.
Mississippi State and Baylor could end up, the winner of that game probably ends up playing Duke. Is there a shot someone could eliminate Duke before they get to Oregon? Do you like Mississippi State, and do you believe in the SEC?
I generally believe in the SEC, especially at the top. It's just an outstanding season for that group of teams. I don't think Mississippi State is going to beat Duke, but I would give Baylor a shot because they've got some real talent in their freshman class. I'm going to blow names. I'm really bad at names. Edgecombe, okay. I think, is their star freshman. And if those guys play well, you know, they've shown that they can beat good teams. I don't know about beating Duke, but if they get a special night, you know, where everything's clicking, you know, we've seen that kind of thing happen. But I would expect that chance better because of the talent on the floor from Baylor than Mississippi State.
Jerry Palm with us, CBS Sports. Help people who are filling out their bracket, you know, just some general things that you consider when you go to fill out your bracket. What are some rules that you follow?
You know, I don't know that I have rules. I go by feel, you know, just how do I feel about this team? If I know something about the matchup, how do I feel about the matchup? Sometimes, you know, a team playing well, like I picked Florida to win because not only are they just playing well now, they played well all year, and they actually look like the best team in the country. Auburn has lost 3 out of 4. Some people are, you know, skeptical of them. I wouldn't be too skeptical of them because, you know, they've been so far ahead of the rest of college basketball in terms of chasing the overall number one seed that, you know, you get to the end and you're a little tired, and yet everybody's telling you you're already the overall number one seed. You don't even have to win these games. And I don't know. I suspect they had a little bit of a letdown, and the NCAA tournament will come around and they'll be re-energized. So I'm not too fussed about Auburn losing, although I did pick Michigan State out of that region. I really like this Michigan State team. And then, you know, it's the Midwest region in Houston, in Indianapolis. You know, Houston's the favorite. Houston should be the favorite. You know, this is an outstanding team, and they're so good defensively. It'll really be interesting if they play Tennessee, which is another outstanding defensive team. They're the top two seeds. That might be the first team to 50 wins. One of my rules is I like good defensive teams because defense always shows up. Your shot may or may not be there, but your defense is always there. So good defensive teams can win games on bad days because they can hang around long enough to finally get a good play and win the game. That's interesting. I think, you know, Houston is just really good. But the Houston-Tennessee matchup, some people might consider an eye bleeder, but if you like defense, that might be your game.
I love that. St. Mary's is a 7 seed. They got Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. They're in the East bracket. Alabama, Robert Morris on the other side of that little pod. Randy Bennett and St. Mary's, the one thing they haven't done, they've made a ton of tournaments, but they haven't really gone on a run like Gonzaga has been on runs. And
yes,
there's a lot of people at St. Mary's hoping maybe this is the year they get to a Sweet 16. Maybe, you know, they can get in there. I guess they'd be playing maybe Wisconsin or BYU with a shot to go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Let's look at St. Mary's path.
Don't rule out BCU, by the way.
Okay, yeah. Let's look at that path in that bracket because I think of all the pods, I guess, I could see a lower-seeded team maybe sneaking in there in the East to play somebody like Duke, you know, for a chance to go to the Final Four. But tell me what you think of that bracket.
I actually have Wisconsin playing Duke to go to the Final Four, and Wisconsin has got an All-American in John Tonji, who's just had a tremendous season and carries that team offensively for the most part, but they're always a good defensive team too, so they're really dangerous. St. Mary's, I think they can beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's most of their best wins this year came on their home floor, so I certainly think that St. Mary's could win that game. Alabama, you know, Grant Nelson's injury has been a problem, and if he's not ready to go, and I haven't seen anything in the last 2 days about it, because I've been otherwise occupied. But Grant Nelson injury is a problem for Alabama. If he's healthy, Alabama's a handful. And he's not their best player. You know, they've got other guys. They could win certainly without him. But, you know, he's a bit of a glue guy for them. So I think he's important to have for a long run for Alabama. I don't know that they need him to beat St. Mary's, but Mark Sears is a tremendous player. They've got a great freshman in Phylon who just flies down the floor. It's athletes all over the place for Alabama. So if you're not athletic, you're going to have problems with Alabama. And I'm not so sure that St. Mary's would have to have a special day, I think, to beat Alabama.
Yeah, I think I can see him winning one game. I'm skeptical on two. We're talking to Jerry Palm. St. John's, the Red Storm, they've got an old coach that a lot of people, he's going to get a lot of attention in this tournament. They are,
They're in it.
Yeah, they're a two seed. Pretender or contender, St. John's?
Hard to say. For a two seed, they're kind of light on quality wins. Now hardly anybody beat them. They're 30-4, right? Their losses are Creighton, Baylor, Georgia, Villanova. So that's three teams in the middle of the bracket and one team that's not, and they're all away from home losses. But they otherwise dominated the Big East. Their best wins, though, so it's funny because the metrics don't particularly care for the Big East, like Marquette, UConn, Creighton are in the high 20s, low 30s of the metrics. So some of those times you play those teams at home and they're not quad one wins, even like UConn and Creighton are not. So they don't have a big win outside the league. In fact, their best non-conference win was a home game against New Mexico on November 17th. So otherwise they've really, handled their conference, obviously, but they don't have, they really have a lot of success that was noteworthy success outside the league. And so now they're going to get outside the league and they're going to see some teams that are pretty good. If they can make the Sweet 16, I'd be surprised if they got further than that.
I'm fascinated by that. And obviously the selection committee's got a job to do, but why do you think the committee's done some squirrely things in the last 2 years? What changed?
No idea. I really don't know. I mean, it's not like they're explaining why they're squirrely. They don't think they are. So, but there's, last year they said something about the Mountain West, and they felt that most of the Mountain West teams had built up resumes on each other. And they didn't do enough outside the league. But then, San Diego State went outside the league and they beat Houston. That got them in the tournament. Boise State went outside the league and they beat St. Mary's and Clemson, two teams in the tournament. But apparently that wasn't enough. Colorado State may have stolen Boise's bid. I don't know, because it might be West Virginia's, as it turns out. But they've done some things the last 2 years, but North Carolina will never be explainable in a way that anyone believes. And they did that to themselves. This is a team that clearly does not belong in the tournament. It was obvious to everyone but them. So I don't really know what to say about that. I don't know why, and it's probably not the same answer for every squirrely thing they do, and they would not categorize it that way.
Who do you have in your final four?
Florida, Michigan State, Houston, and Duke.
How much of that Duke pick has to do with Cooper Flagg being 100%? If he's not 100%, are they still a final four team? Can they get there without him?
Yeah, I think their path would give them a chance to get there without him. I'd be surprised, though, if he was unavailable for the first four games of this tournament. If I were them and I had any doubt at all, I wouldn't suit him up for the first one. But it's the NCAA tournament. If he can go, he should probably be going.
He might not play him in that first one, though. I kind of lean that way, too.
If there's any doubt, I wouldn't. You know, but if he's cleared and good to go, send him out there. Give him a few minutes. You know, get him feeling good about himself again. You know, get some confidence in the ankle if in fact he's good to go.
Do you have a little sleeper upset early round pick, a 12 over a 5, a 14 over a 3? Is there one that you like that jumped out at you as you saw the matchups?
Let's see. Who did I pick? I did pick something. I don't pick a lot of those. I picked Yale to beat A&M.
Okay. That's a 13 over a 4. Yeah, that's 13.
Yeah, I saw Yale at Purdue this year, and yeah, they've got some guys, and they can shoot. And they're physical, which is not what you normally get out of the Ivy.
But, and they're smart. They're smart, Jerry Palm. Those are smart kids at Yale.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I got Drake beating Missouri.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, North Carolina, did I tell you this, was seated behind on the 1-68 list behind VCU and Drake. Okay. So the VCU and Drake, if they were not automatic qualifiers but had the same resumes, would get a passing glance and sent on their way. You know, but Carolina's behind them on the 1-68 list.
All right, so something squirrely going on there. There's something.
So I like Drake. I picked McNeese to beat Clemson. That's kind of a flyer. And then VCU to beat BYU. And that's mostly because I think VCU is no fun to play against. And if you're not used to playing, they get physical teams in the Big 12, of course, but VCU just gets in you, and they're annoying. It's and I mean that in the nicest possible way. But they're not a lot of fun to play. Their guard Shulga is a big scorer for them, but they make you play in the 60s and the 50s, and BYU doesn't like to play like that. BYU likes to get out and run. So if they're going to beat VCU, they're going to have to dictate tempo and hit a bunch of shots, and because VCU is going to make them uncomfortable.
Jerry Palm, you're the best. Make sure you hydrate, you get some rest. Thank you for your work here on this program and your work the last 2 weeks.
I'm always happy to talk to you, John.
There he goes. The pride of CBS. He's the bracketologist. Did you hear his comment? He said, "We were stunned. I can't think of another team that had so convincingly proven they were not an NCAA tournament team that got in the bracket. It's dumbfounding." I want you to leave it here. Our big splash coming up. I also want your reaction at 503-417-7575.